This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Joe. I'm Ian Ozan, WWL First News. And now with more WWL First News, here's Tommy Tucker on WWL AMFM.com.
Stevie Wonder to ring the opening bell here as we hope to achieve some higher ground and aspire to better. You wonder with this shooter if it's the kind of thing where if they don't get him soon, they'll never get him, or if he's already dead. You got to wonder about that, right?
I don't know. I think the bigger question is how in the world would security fail this badly for something like this to happen?
Well, and the other thing I'm thinking about is with cameras everywhere today, how could there not be any kind of video link to this or something? I don't know. Maybe I don't know what I don't know. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola, about Mayor Cantrell, and we'll talk to Mike Strain. Getting going early here. Back in a flash, WWL. Sunny and hot through next Friday, which would bring us to the 19th of September. No tropical weather forecast at all, so we'll keep taking it a week at a time, right? Yesterday, Mayor Cantrell appeared in federal court and pled not guilty. Dane Cialino joins us now, professor of law at Loyola, to talk about it. How you doing, Dane?
Just fine, Tommy. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. Is what happened yesterday with the mayor, as far as these things go, relatively routine?
Absolutely routine. Nothing out of the ordinary happened at all. She appeared with her lawyer, waived the reading of the indictment, entered a not guilty plea, and then the judge moved on to issues about bond and pretrial release, and then it was over.
When it comes to the fact that she had to surrender her passport, was that surprising at all?
No, that's a very standard operating procedure in federal court for someone charged with serious felony crimes to have to give up the opportunity for international travel. And then her travel was restricted to the Eastern District of Louisiana, which is essentially southeastern Louisiana, during the pendency of the charges. Now, having said that, this magistrate judge will grant her liberal leave to travel if she demonstrates any need to do so for her responsibilities as mayor. I would imagine after her term ends, it'll be less liberally granted. But for now, I can't imagine any of this, any of these charges are going to practically impair her ability to carry out her duties as mayor.
What was the deal about you can meet with employees, but you can't discuss the case? Is that realistic, or do defendants take that very seriously? And it's like, okay, I understand. The judge told me I'm not about to get involved in this.
Yeah, it's a condition of pretrial release. If you violate that condition, then that then her bail could be revoked, and she could be sent to jail pending trial. So, yeah, I mean, it doesn't mean that she can't prepare for trial. Of course, she can meet with witnesses with her lawyers present, with her lawyer present. And it's just an effort to make sure that there's no efforts to intimidate or otherwise improperly influence witnesses.
Do you have to post bail in something like this or not? Or was she released on her own?
Well, typically you do, but the judge accepted just a recognizance bond, essentially her promise to show up at all court hearings and at trial to release her. So, and again, in a case like this, that's what I would expect. She's a very high profile person. And if she were to disappear for a couple of days, I think everyone would know.
Given the history, maybe not. I just had to get that in there because you never know. She was going out of town a lot. But, of course, she can't travel now. When it comes to procedures in the courtroom, and I know you've represented people in federal court before, I see in the story here that she looked the prosecutor, whoever of the charges, and the U.S. attorney made eye contact with him. Do you tell defendants how to conduct themselves in court, or does it really matter at this stage or not?
Well, ones who aren't prone to behave, you tell them just to sit there, be quiet, and let's just get through this. Mm-hmm. So sometimes they can't help themselves. So here, what the mayor did, just looking at the prosecutors, nothing unusual and certainly nothing that was disruptive of the court proceedings.
But I guess at this point, what I was asking is, it's different than at the trial, right? At the trial, first of all, do you know if she's going to have a jury trial or a judge trial? Do we know yet?
I would expect that she's going to have a jury trial. It's very rare to see a judge trial. For a judge trial, both the defense and the prosecution have to agree to waive a jury, and it's a little different from state court. But if one perceives an advantage with the judge, the other sees it and is going to not consent to it. So it's very rare to see.
She would do better, I would think, with a jury than a judge, right?
Well, it depends on the jury. That's always the case. It always depends on the jury. If she gets one of the cardinal rules of jury selection is you want a jury that's like your client. And if she gets jurors who are sympathetic to her, obviously she's got a much better chance than if she gets a more hostile group of jurors.
Yeah, that was a poorly phrased question, I guess, when it comes to the strategy of deciding whether to go with a judge or a jury trial. You never know about the jury, but as it stands now, you would think she would do better with a jury than a judge?
I would think so. Yeah. I think she's got a very tough case in either event, but I would expect that if this matter goes to trial, it's going to be a jury trial.
I wanted to start with the latest, and then we'll work back. When we come back, we'll talk about what exactly she's charged with, 11 counts, and this has anything to do with, I guess people sometimes think that it has to do with having an affair, but it's not about having an affair. Is not illegal in federal court, right? In against any, or I guess in any law at all. If you cheat on your husband or have an affair with anybody, whatever. I got to parse my words here, but having an affair, generally speaking, is not illegal, is it?
It is not, and that is the mischaracterization about this case that we've heard from several, including former Mayor Nagin. No, this is not a case about an affair. That's certainly the underlying motive for what's charged in the indictment. But what's charged in the indictment is essentially misappropriation of government funds by having Mayor Cantrell sign off and be a co-conspirator in Officer Vappi's conduct, which involved getting paid for work he didn't do.
Let me phrase it this way before we go to the break. If they had had an affair, just to be clear to the public, and they had not involved the city at all with overtime or money or travel or anything else, she would not be where she is today or yesterday, right?
Exactly.
Okay, let's pick it up when we come back. Dane Celino, our guest, will talk about the 11 counts. When we return and what's likely to happen between now and then and a possible trial date, it is 6:20, time for traffic now on WWE.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
625, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back to Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola, talking about Mayor Cantrell's appearance in federal court yesterday. Dane, I know you've read the indictment. You're a professor of law, and I thought it'd be interesting to look at this and go kind of rewind the tape and say, okay, Mayor Cantrell, here's what you charged with, and let's go back. Stop right there. If you don't do that, you don't get charged with this. Can we do that?
Yeah, I mean, it's the crux of the indictment is fraud that involves the false request for pay from the city by Mr. Vacby, saying that he was on duty when he was involved in an affair with the mayor and not working.
So that's involved. That's him. What about her? Where does she get involved in this?
Well, she's a co-conspirator. She, in fact, approved some of the time sheets when the time reported on those sheets was false, had not been worked, and she was just involved in the planning and plotting and execution of the scheme to defraud the city.
So, if she's involved with Officer Vapi. And she says, again, going back to stop, you're not going to get in trouble if you don't do this. If he comes to her with timesheets, I don't know how it happened. The charge is conspiracy that they both got together and said, look, and I'm just paraphrasing this here, basically that, look, we'll spend time together and we'll get the city to pay for our trips is basically what the charge is?
Basically, and not just trips. Some of the time was spent in the city and, of course, as it was well publicized at the Patalba Apartments. So, and there's lots of factual allegations in the allegation that the mayor knew it was wrong. And then, of course, there are a set of charges with the cover-up where she allegedly obstructed justice by deleting WhatsApp messages and other text messaging on her phone, where she lied to the FBI, and that's of course the after the fact charges, and then the often not discussed charge is the charge that's really more like a typical governmental corruption case. It involves permitting that she was involved with a contractor who was getting electrical permits fraudulently. And that she received something of value for helping him get his permits.
And that's separate and distinct from the Vapi thing, right?
It is. And that's a classic kind of a governmental corruption kickback type allegation. And again, not many people talk about that. It's more complicated and not as interesting as the affair-related charges and the cover-up charges.
But that would seem the more serious to me, is it?
Well, it depends on the loss amount and from a sentencing standpoint. And I'm not sure it's more serious given the numbers involved with Vapi's fraud, which exceeds $70,000. So, and then also, of course, the obstruction of justice and lying to the FBI charges are fairly serious. So it's a... It's an unusual indictment because most of it, of course, is premised on or at least motivated by an affair. But the charges involving the electrical contracting and permitting is more run-of-the-mill governmental corruption.
She's in a heap of trouble. Accurate?
Anytime anybody gets indicted in federal court, they're in a heap of trouble. Mm-hmm. Many people, many defense lawyers, firmly believe that you win or lose a federal criminal case by avoiding indictment. Once you're indicted, often the die is cast, and it's very difficult to win a trial.
Differences between, because I know you've handled both, differences between handling a case in federal court and state court?
In federal court, the FBI and other federal investigating agencies do a tremendous job in gathering evidence and doing their investigation, like they climbing through or crawling through the phones and electronic devices of both the mayor and Vabby took no doubt hours and hours and days and months. And that's just not the kind of investigation that NOPD or JPSO is really set up to do as thoroughly as the forensic investigators at the FBI. So, yeah, you're going to be dealing with better investigators. You're going to be dealing with court dockets that aren't snarled with other cases. So the cases are going to move along fairly expeditiously. You've got seasoned prosecutors who are there as career lawyers, not passing through as sometimes you see in DA's offices. So yeah, all around, it's a tougher venue for criminal defendants to deal with.
Real quick, I know I've heard it said in state court they don't want to go to trial; they want to reach a settlement to avoid going to trial or some kind of plea arrangement. Is that the case in federal court or not?
Yeah, that's everywhere. That's okay. Civil cases, criminal cases, everywhere. And of course, the government would love to get this resolved and a guilty plea. But as of now, from what we heard on the steps of the courthouse from Mayor Cantrell's lawyers, this is a case that at the moment is headed for trial.
All right. Thank you, Dane. Appreciate it. As always, we'll take a break. Talk to Mike Strain. Time now, WWL First News.
Thank you, Joe. I'm Ian Ozan, WWL First News. Now back to Tommy Tucker on WWLAMFM.com.
All right, Saints taking on the 49ers in the Dome on Sunday. Today is your last chance to win tickets to Sunday's Saints battle with the San Francisco 49ers in the Dome. You can score two premium tickets to the game, plus a pair of VIP tailgate passes from Bullseye Event Group. I believe we're talking open bar with premium liquor, all-you-can-eat buffet from celebrity Chef Aaron May, all overlooking Champion Square. Winning's easy. Go to WWL.com/contest enter. Today, your final chance to win Saints 49ers tickets from Saints Radio, WWL. It ends tonight at 11:59 p.m. So go ahead and enter. We come back. We'll talk to Mike Strain, as we always do, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, here on WWL. 6:45, quarter till 7, Thursday morning, September the 11th, the 24th anniversary of the attack, and it's kind of weird how we choose different numbers. 25th anniversary next year is going to be a big thing, but we'll never forget what happened. Mike Strain joins us now, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. How you doing, Mike Strain?
Man, I am doing great. How are you, Tommy?
I am okay. I'm heading to Alexandria this weekend, so tell me what I need to look out for in terms of farm vehicles.
Well, when you go ahead to Alexandria, they're going to be, you know, doing a lot of work now, beginning with their sugar cane. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, we're probably going to be harvesting a few beans left. All the corn's been harvested. And so mostly there in Alexandria is sugar is what we have there, and a beginning of row crops. The row crops really begin from Alexandria headed up towards the Monroe area through that entire district. But we're getting in now to harvest of, you know, we've done most of the corn and beans, and then of course sugar starts now, and we'll be harvesting sugar between now and probably the first week, hopefully not the second, but the first week of January. And so, and you've been there on I-49, and you can see those trucks rolling, and so they're rolling to the sugar mills. The closest mill is in Pointe Coupe, but then the most of the sugar mills are below I-10, I-12. And then the corn and the beans are going to a various number of inland, generally inland elevators. Some are going to the export elevators. But now is the time. We've got to get, you know, everything out. And it's a very short window to get that done.
Tell me about seafood testing, because it's amazing how other countries test. 50% in Louisiana, the United States test what? A very small percentage, right?
Very small, but we are trying to increase that. The legislature has set aside amount of money. We are testing about 10 samples per week for antibiotics, and that's with a total funding of about $130,000. We hope that next year, because we did a number of law changes to where that we'll double that amount so that we can do about 20 per week. We have teams that go in and, you know, and look for the imported seafood. We're also testing that which we might think could be blended for antibiotics. We have found antibiotics, and you know, in several cases, you know, we've found thiamphenicol, ciprofloxacin, you know, chloramphenicol, those sorts of things. And then that information is immediately turned over to the Department of Health and Hospitals, and that product is seized immediately. But we are finding it, and so the other thing is that, you know, we're watching for those packages that came in that had the cesium in it, the cesium-123, and we're talking about how we start looking for that. And then further, we're looking at doing confirmation of origin on products. We know that with catfish, now that we have the ability to tell if it's catfish or another species by doing DNA testing, we're looking at that. In addition to that, we are charged with label enforcement. And so, and we've, you know, probably done over 600 packages at, you know, at many different locations. We'll go into locations, look at every package in the frozen counters to make sure they don't violate the Louisiana laws, which means if it is a seafood product and on there it is deceptive to where you think it is a Louisiana product, but it is not, they have to put the country of origin in 30-point font, which is pretty big, on the front of the package. And they are complying because the fines, you know, the fine starts first offense at $15,000, second $25,000, third offense at $50,000, and each offense thereafter. Most of the time, we tell the company, look, you can't sell us because we'll put a stop order on it, and then they go ahead and correct it and move forward. And our main goal is that, you know, if you're going to buy imported product, especially, you know, shrimp, crawfish, catfish, whatever that is, then, you know, that's your choice, but you need to know that you're buying that. And then we're going to continue testing for these antibiotics. And we initially started off with looking for three antibiotics in the chloramphenicol family. And then now we're looking for 14 different antibiotics. And that could change depending on what it could be coming from. So Thailand, we're watching very closely, you know, Indonesia, you know, Vietnam, China, all those countries. And we are really out there trying to make sure that the products are safe. But there's a lot of seafood products, a lot of different ones, and they come in. You would think, oh, just go down to the port of New Orleans. It's not that simple. A lot of them come into other states and are trucked across our lines and distributed. And so we're in a, you know, continuously chasing that, and then, you know, working with our friends in the FDA. So we are very active now in seafood testing. And we tell people bottom line, you know, buy fresh, local certified products. Look, the brown shrimp out there have never been better. I was with a town hall meeting in Houma where Representative Jessica Domain night before last, and the big subject was shrimp. You know, and the shrimpers are telling me they're getting paid $1 a pound for nice shrimp at the dock. It costs more than $2 to shrimp them, you know, to go out there and catch them. And so we've really got to do some work in the shrimping industry. And of course, we're going to continue to work with crawfish and crabs and oysters. But again, we need to make sure the public is protected, the public is informed. But we also, really, you and I, we need to ask before we eat. If we're going to have a FOBO, I want our Gulf shrimp or our crawfish or our oysters or our catfish, right, on that FOBO.
Mike, it seems like it's almost impossible to control it from the supply side. So if you would control it from the demand side, where people would just be cognizant of what they eat and only eat Louisiana stuff, that would take care of itself, wouldn't it?
That's right. And that's what we've, you know, done over the years with crawfish. You know, it used to be shrimp was king, crawfish was second. And now, you know, the entire Gulf shrimp industry, you know, landings are less than $40 million. The Louisiana crawfish industry is over $250 million. Now, think about that. You know, when people go, you know, they want Louisiana crawfish. If you're going to go have boiled crawfish, you better believe it's going to be Louisiana crawfish. It should also be Louisiana shrimp, right? We've got to ask the public. If the public demands it, then that's what the merchants are going to buy to sell to the public. That's the bottom line.
Mike, let me take a quick break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking about National Rice Month, also about fall gardens. Y'all got any questions, comments for Dr. Mike Strain, a respected veterinarian, also Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, very smart man. Text those questions in to 504-260-1870, 652, 8 till 7, traffic now, WWL. Tommy Tucker, WWL, 3 minutes ahead of 7 o'clock, couple of minutes left with Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Mike, it's National Rice Month. How important is rice to Louisiana?
Rice is one of our major crops. We're the third largest grower of rice in the United States, more than 400,000 acres. And, you know, when you put the value of rice and you add the milled rice, it's more than $500 million. Mm. So it's a huge part of our economy. You know, areas that grow rice, grow rice. But what comes after rice?
Crawfish.
Crawfish, mm-hmm. That's right. And so now, you know, you're looking at the value of the rice fields. And then, of course, for Sportsman's Paradise, 60% of the energy the ducks need to get moving further, they get from raiding our rice fields. They go into the rice fields. So ducks for wildlife is very important. Crawfish is important. And two, harvestings of rice. And rice has been here since actually the Civil War. What happened, Carolina Gold was the king of rice, because that's where it started, when a ship going from Madagascar to Europe had to put into the port there in South Carolina for repairs. And the captain left rice, and they began growing rice. And then during the Civil War, the Northern armies destroyed all of the water channels, and they moved the rice production to Louisiana.
No kidding.
So it's an area called Iowa, you know, if you get into that general area, mm-hmm. which farmers from Iowa were recruited by Dr. Dalrymple from LSU. They were brought here to farm wheat. Wheat didn't grow very well here, but by goodness, they figured out they could grow rice. And a new industry and a way of life was formed, and now we are much larger, you know, than the Carolinas in rice. And our medium grain, you know, our long grain, we have some of the finest rice in the entire world. And National Rice Month is celebrated. And you think about it. What is red beans in? That's right. Crawfish, etouffee, gumbo. Look, rice is a staple in our way of life. And I can tell you, it's a huge, growing, continued part of our economy.
Mike, we love having you on because we always learn something. So that's where Iowa, Louisiana came from.
That's right.
I'll be damned.
That's right.
I'll be damned.
Like that?
I'm telling you, that's something, man. I saw it already, but I didn't know that that's what it came from, because I always wondered, why would there be an Iowa in Louisiana? But it's not. It's Iowa. Thank you, sir. Mike Strain.
Iowa.
Commissioner.
It's spelled the same.
Yeah, but not pronounced the name. It's the same. Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. We come back. We'll talk with Bankrate Senior Industry Analyst Ted Rossman about savings accounts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.